I asked Daniel to speak a few weeks ago, and he spoke on Psalm 8, if you remember. The reason why is because I'm doing the story of God, and we're going from the beginning, and we're talking about the beginning in creation. And actually, Psalm 8 is a, as Daniel did a great job, it is a psalm of creation, about talking about creation. So that's the reason why. And also, I've asked Pukumi to speak, and he's going to speak on Proverbs 8. Just so happens, the two 8s there, Proverbs, Psalm 8 and Proverbs 8. And it also has connections with creation and the beginning in a way. But I don't want to say too much, because actually the reason why I asked Daniel, well, other people to speak, is I think it's great to have different voices. And in Bukumi's case, different cultures, coming different perspectives. In fact, Daniel has a different cultural perspective to me as well, but particularly Bukumi. And so I love hearing these different voices, really looking forward to what you've got to share. That's why all these things are coming together. Does that make sense? This is all about the beginning. It's about creation. It's about where it all comes from, where we all come from. So, let me pray. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this church and how you speak to us through your word and through different voices speaking. And we pray this morning that the community would share with us something of your spirit. I thank you for his faith. I thank you for his life and his passion for you. And we pray from that, Lord, let us hear your voice. Give us ears to hear you. And give Bukumi a voice to speak from you today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Over to you. Yeah. I know you don't need this, do you?
I do something.
You're a wanderer.
Yeah. Good morning, church. Isn't it good to have a very good pastor that does some very good forewarning for you? Thank God I don't have to answer those questions. It's good, it's clear, because last Sunday he said he's got this series of questions, and it's going to be that he will probably be leaving some till next Sunday. So I thought maybe he's leaving them for me. It's good. He's helped to clear some of it. And we bless God for that. Today, I trust God to speak to our hearts and to challenge us also. I bless God. Thank God for the perspectives about the beginning that we've had. This morning, I'm going to be sharing with us about the wisdom expression at the beginning, the expression of wisdom at the beginning. That's what I'm going to be sharing with us this morning. And like you said, we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, from verse 22 to 31. And allow me, I'm going to be crisscrossing the scriptures as I bring us this thought this morning. So, what is wisdom? Who is wisdom? What is wisdom? Who is wisdom? And how was wisdom manifested in the beginning of time? Can we read Proverbs chapter 8 from verse 22 to 32? I'll just quickly read. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I have been established from everlasting. From the beginning, before there was ever an earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with waters, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought up. I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, or the fields, or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits, so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him, always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited earth world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Verse 12 says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is sweet, is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and rulers decree justice. So it's a personification of what wisdom is, who wisdom is. He said, at the beginning I was with God, and I, before many things, before there were a number of creations, I was with God, and I was like one brought up with him. And it's good for us to see these expressions of this personality that was with God even before the earth was formed. Today, I want us to look at a man. There was an experience a man had, Job. Job had an experience, and today we are not looking at Job in its entirety. He had a life experience, and he had a position. His friends had a position. The society had a position, and he said, "I am guiltless. I've not done anything wrong, and all these things that happened to me." And God spoke to him. I want us to hear. To this morning, there is going to be asking us like 25 questions. Remember, we're in a season of questions. The pastor just finished one. So I'm going to be asking everyone here a series of questions this morning that God asked Job in the book of Job chapter 38. But I want you to know that according to Bible historians, that the book of Job was pre-Genesis, pre-Abraham, sorry. If we want to put it in chronological event, where you see Job is not like it happened in the time of David. If the book of Job, it's like something that happened before God called Abraham to be his own, between Adam and Abraham. That was when the book of Job actually happened, before God called people into this very personal relationship with him. That was when the story of Job happened. So let's see it also in that chronology, that this was the almost like the earliest of humans' interactions with God. And Job, God spoke to Job. God asked Job these questions. The reason why I want to show those questions to each and every one of us is because wisdom in Proverbs chapter 8, God was asking Job this set of questions. I'm going to be there in a jiffy. And Job chapter 38 from verse, I'll just be reading these verses. These are the questions that God asked Job. God asked him in verse 4, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have the understanding. Verse 5, who determined his measurements. Verse 6, to what were the foundations of the earth fastened? Do you have the understanding? Or who shut the sea with the doors? Who sets the boundary to say, you can't get beyond this? Verse 11, when I said, this is far as you can come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. Were you there? Have you commanded the morning? Since your days began, did you give instruction to the day to break? Did you know how these things came to be? Have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the dirt? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Have you traversed those realities? Have you seen death? Have you seen life? Have you seen the depths of the sea? The scripture says in Psalm, those who do business in the depths of the sea see the wonders of God. And the other day we were invited to watch Avatar, The Way of the Sea. And we can see the beauty of cinematography at the depths of the sea, that these kind of realities and creatures could happen there. The beauty, the ocean floor, the sea floor, these things could happen there. God was asking Job, have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Remember, this was before this kind of advancement in science. This was pre the four corners of the earth. Not to now talk of the earth is spherical and that we can actually go around the earth. These questions were prehistoric, and they were asking Job, can you come up and give an explanation? Where, verse 19 says, where is the way to the dwelling of light? Do you know where light is? And darkness, where is its place? You know the day and the morning, but do you know the foundation? Now in science, because our understanding have increased, we know that our night is because of our positioning from the sun, and our day is because of our positioning, and we define our years when there has been a revolution. We revolving around the sun. Have you entered the treasury of the snow? Have you been there before? Have you seen? Now, because we can circumnavigate the earth and we can do remote sensing, we know that, okay, there are glacier forms that are dissolving, and there is effect of global warming. But at this time, we are saying, have you got the where this repository of snow, do you know where it is? When at this time a man cannot travel, as at this time we're talking about, a man cannot travel from one part of the earth to the other part. You can't go from Australia to England in like 12 hours thereabout, and you can't get to Canada flying through in like 24 hours. The scripture says, have you seen where the treasury of the snow is? Can you bind the cluster of plates? Verse 31. And verse 34 says, can you lift up your voice to the clouds, that an abundance of water may cover you? In some parts of Africa, where I came from, he said, I put perspective of Africa, there are some people they call rainmakers. people that can make rain to fall. And there have been cases in which some guys try to seed the rain. They try to make rain fall, or rain not to fall. It's both ways. Some guys will say they've got power to make rain to fall and rain not to fall. The scripture says none of the hidden, none of the gods of the hidden can hold rain. Some of those guys, rain finally beat them in an attempt to say rain should not fall. Because it is beyond their power. It is beyond their ability to determine whether there's going to be rain or not. These were questions that God asked Job. But wisdom that we said was from the beginning in the book of Proverbs chapter 21-31 says, I was there with him. I was with God when he was setting the foundations of the earth. I was with God when he set the boundaries of the sea. I was there with God when he gave the order to say, see, you will not get beyond here, and you will not get beyond this. And I will jump to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 to 24 to 25. The scripture says, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 to 25. Jesus said, the scripture said, to the Jews and to the Gentiles, to the bond and to the free, Jesus has been made both the wisdom and the power of God. Both the wisdom of God and the power of God. The wisdom of God that was at the beginning with him, that was expressed in his creation, that was with him. It says, I was like one that was with him from the beginning, and my desire was with the children of men. I liked men. I liked human beings. Even though they were not created, but we knew they will be created. And just like Pastor said, that why will God create the earth? Of course, there's a position of this earth is so evil and bad and not good at all to God. If it is just a bunch of useless entity, why would you go through all this stress to make it? Why would you go through all this stress to make it? And somebody, a man was making a position that, and I feel it is so, one of the reasons why the devil is so crazy is that we have seen God, the devil. It's not all the beings in heaven that could see God. The scripture says, are thou not the anointed cherub that covereth, that is close to where God is? It is not every creature, every being that will see the magnificence of God. But the devil was one of those. And the devil did not even say, God, I want to overthrow you. I hope you know. The scripture says, as much as it was in your heart, it was still in his heart to say, I want to, maybe we should do a coup. It was still in his heart. And they said, because iniquity was found in you. He didn't even have an opportunity to repent. But you and I, we repent today, we repent tomorrow, we repent next tomorrow. And the misbehavior of ours for the next 20 years, Jesus has also paid for it. The devil can't comprehend this. And God chose to bind himself to us. This is the way of the wisdom of God. Such that when in the book of First Kings chapter 3, God appeared to Solomon and said, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? And Solomon said, you are a great God who have been so good to my father and myself. And also you've got these very great people. I am just a small boy. I want you to give me understanding and wisdom on how to behave well with these your people. Wow. God, he touched God. An aspect of God was activated. And God said, because you have not asked for the life of your enemies, because you have not asked for riches. I would have asked for riches. I would have asked for the life of my enemies. I would have asked for, I'll just tell my children, and every day is a covering of God, my wife, children, anywhere you go, even if you go to Afghanistan or to the depths of Boko Haram or everywhere, that you are covered. Nothing can happen to you. Anybody shot a gun at you, it won't shoot. That's asking for such kind. I would have. And he said, but because you did not ask for all this, I will give you all of that. And I will give you wisdom as it's not been expressed before. Such that when the Queen of Sheba came and saw the magnificence and the wisdom and the array and the display of the dexterity in the palace of Solomon, the scripture says she became lifeless. She tripped. She was swept off her feet because of what she saw displayed in wisdom. In concluding, I want to say that in whichever dimension, in our family life, in our work career, in our work with God, in whatsoever aspect, or as an elder statesman, that's the position I pray God is going to give me, where people like Keith are sitting today, that's the highest I pray to God to give me. That someday I will be an elder statesman. That some guys from nowhere, I don't want to be at the top of government, but in the cool of the evening, I'll just see a car parked in front of my house, and the people that control the world will come to my house and say, "Sir, what do you think we should do in this circumstance?" And I will say, I would think if we look at this and look at this and look at this and this, the decision is ultimately yours. And that guy will step out of my house knowing what to do, but I will just be in the cool of my house, definitely with my wife also beside. That's the height of my aspirations when I'm 70, 80. So, whichever place we are, there's access to this wisdom. The scripture says that which eyes have not seen, which has not entered into the hearts of men, is made available to us. We have access to this wisdom of God. We have access to this dimension of God. James chapter 1 from verse 5 to 8, in closing. James chapter 1 from verse 5 to 8, it says, does anyone need wisdom? Does anyone lack wisdom? This wisdom that manifested itself as and at creation, that was given to Solomon as a person, that became revealed as Jesus, the word that was with God at the beginning, and the church has. At an individual level, we have access also to this wisdom of God. Does anyone lack wisdom? Let him ask the Father of light, who upbraids not. Okay, my children knows. And when they say that, can we have this? I can say, I do bargain. Tell me you're going to have a 9 in all your courses, then we can do that Xbox at the other time of the year. So I do bargain, but the scripture says you can ask the Father of light, that does not upbraid or find faults before it does. So we can ask him. And this morning, as those questions were asked to Job, I'm going to play a song in closing today of a lady that was asking these questions also. And I want you to sing with me as we listen to this song and reaffirm our faith in our Redeemer, in the access we have to Christ. In closing, I want you to know the wisdom that was revealed in creation, the wisdom that we have taken 2,000 or 3,000 years as scientists to discover, and we're still doing nanotechnology and 3D printing to unravel it. And it is artificial intelligence, generative IT. We are still mining it, that wisdom that was from the beginning. It's available to you. Thank you.
For copyright reasons, we can't play Nicole C. Mullen's Redeemer. But if you want to search it and listen to it at this moment, go ahead and do that. And we'll just drop in towards the end of that song as Bukumni prays to finish.
I thank you because you're my Redeemer. I thank you because you are the one that set the sun in its place. You gave instruction to the moon when to come out. You set the bounds of the oceans. And you laid the ice in their depths. Thank you because of this wisdom that was established at the beginning of time, that is still available to me today. Lord, I ask you for this wisdom. Lord, I ask you that which eyes have not seen, that which ears have not, that have not been heard. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus that there be a fresh expression of your wisdom in all of our lives in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In what we do, in who we are, in what we are to be to the world. Father, we pray, Lord, that there be demonstration continuously of your wisdom through us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.